scientist, a coach, an author, a speaker, and if I believe, Joan, you're a lover of people like I am.
I certainly am. What magnificent treasures we are. I agree
That's
with you
true.
Totally.
That's true. I believe in treating animals good and loving animals, and I'm thankful to our Creator that they're there. They're great therapy. I love the trees and the oceans. I believe we should preserve it. But the most important thing on my mind always is people.
Well, we have conscious awareness. And when we live from that place of conscious awareness and we make decisions in our lives to allow us to be expansive and creative, there is nothing more wonderful than the expansive nature of humans really consciously creating their world.
That's absolutely true. And I think what our job is, Joan, you have a book. I've been blessed to have this radio program, this science radio program, and I believe there's a science behind everything. And I think we just need to refine our science of how to wake up a lot of people who have gone to sleep and who have maybe through life trials began to maybe disbelieve in their dreams that they have. And somehow we need to find the right science to inspire them through what we do ourselves and what we say to them. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, you know, I've been a scientist. I got my PhD in 1972 in neuroscience and psychology. And throughout my academic career, I used mostly the neuroscience component of my PhD. And when I became a professor emeritus, when I left the medical school in 1999, I took time to just think about what I had been doing, think about what my experiments had shown me, and begin to look at the cells of our bodies and the systems of our bodies from a completely different perspective. While I was in academia, my entire attention was focused on trying to learn how the cells work, how the systems integrate. But when I left, I began to look at them not as the object of my study, but as my teacher of how to live exuberantly and how to live harmoniously. If you've worked with cells at all, you know that if you give them the minimum amount of nutrients, they thrive. If you put neurons in a dish, they reach out to touch each other within minutes of being plated. There is this life principle that is so at the center and core of our being, and it is the life principle that comes into every cell and makes us alive. And so that's where the cellular name in the book comes. The wisdom part comes in understanding that this life force is not some abstract concept. It really is the same energy that unfolded all the beauties of the world over billions of years and has led to the evolution of a human being with conscious awareness, which means that all the knowledge, all the wisdom is present in the life principle that keeps us alive. And it also means we have access to that. It isn't like we have to earn it. If we are alive, it is our birthright. And the purpose of my book is to make people aware of the fact that this inner resource within them, where they don't have to go to anybody else, it's within them, is always available to them and has the richness of this deep wisdom.
Like you said, it's a birthright. Whether you wanted it or not, you have it. Now,
you do.
You have to decide whether, first of all, to believe it's there and to look at the evidence for it. And then once you do believe, because I think belief is really the motivator and the engine behind and the fuel behind getting things accomplished. Without belief, the people just sit there. So we got to get people to believe they have this and get excited about it, and then we can probably rejuvenate their ability to dream again, because I think all achievements come from dreams.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Some of the chapters in the book, Cellular Wisdom, talk about tapping into renewal. There's this wonderful story that I came across of a young woman who was, I think, 13 or 14 years old at the time, and was having approximately 100 epileptic seizures a day. And there's one part of the brain where these seizures originate. And unfortunately, if that kind of dysfunctional activity is allowed to persist, that structure on one part of the brain starts to affect the structure, the similar structure on the other part of the brain, and destroy it. So what they literally did at Johns Hopkins Hospital was they removed the entire left half of this woman's brain.
I heard about that.
And what is amazing is that 4 years later, as she's a teenager, now about 17, she has learned how to talk, and language is in the left part of the brain. That part was removed. She has learned how to walk, which requires both sides of the brain to coordinate the activity of the left and the right half of the body. And that shows you the fabulous capacity of the life energy to renew. And when people begin to understand, this happens at a physical level, but that's also available to us psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually.
And we need to understand that and believe in that, because there's a science behind it.
Absolutely.